Now we're going to hear from Rabbi Michael Taubes, who was a Talmid of the Rebbe for many years and had special perspective.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Brishus, the Rav Maradasa, the Ganek, Shlita, Mitzvah Shashiva, Rachel Eichmann, Shlita, who's one of my Rebbeim in my youth, and Rabbi Turk, as I mentioned, the classmates, and the Rav Shear, that's the other Rabbanim here, Rabbi Yudin, is that right? And the Karela also together in the Rosh Hashir. Rabbanan, Rabbanan. With the arrival of the second day of Pesach, we commence the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer, and it will continue, of course, Bez Hashem until Shavuos. And I thought, therefore, that it would be appropriate to speak about something, share some insights from the Rav Zichron Livracha relating to Sfiras HaOmer, and specifically for tonight, based on some comments made by the Baal HaMor. The very end of Maseches Pesachim, on the Rif, the last page of Maseches Pesachim, the page of the Rif, the back of Pesachim. Actually, the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer is not discussed in Maseches Pesachim particularly. Most of the discussion is found in Maseches Menachos. That's because the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer is closely linked to the bringing of the so-called Korban HaOmer. The Korban HaOmer was a mincha offering. Mincha offering means an offering comes from grain. In the case of the Korban HaOmer, it was a barley offering. And it was an omer is an amount. Omer is a measurement. It's a quantity. So it's an omer's worth of barley that was brought as part of this carbon. So it's called the carbon omer. It was a mincha offering. So it's discussed in Maseches Menachos instead of discussing the minchas omer. So the conversation, the Gemara, a couple of pages switches over to talk about the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer. But there's no riff in the back of Maseches Menachos. The riff wrote only on the Maseches Kachalach and the Meisim. So the Baal HaMor usually comments on the riff. So there's no riff to comment on in the back of Menachos. So the comment in Sfiras HaOmer is put in the end of Pesachim, obviously, because the connection to Pesach. So the Baal HaMor, the very end of Pesachim, the Ran also quotes there the Baal HaMor of verbatim. The Baal HaMor poses three interesting questions with regards to our observance of Sfiras HaOmer nowadays. The first question the Baal HaMor asked is, why is it that there is no brach of Shechiyanu recited over the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer the first night we begin Sfiras HaOmer? We started to count the Omer Motzei Shabbos was the first night. So how come we don't say Brach of Shechiyanu when we begin counting the Omer? After all, as a general rule, we recite Shechiyanu on a mitzvah, a bo mizman lizman. You have a mitzvah you haven't performed in a long while. So when you first perform the mitzvah, you recite the Brach of Shechiyanu. And we did not say Shechiyanu over Sfiras HaOmer when we began the mitzvah this past the Motzei Shabbos. Why is there no Brach of Zman? Shechiyanu is called the mitzvah in the language of Chazal, it's called the Brach of Zman. Shechiyanu became only going to Zman Hazef. So, why is there no Brach of Shechiyanu on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? Question one. Question two and three relate to those of us who are living in Chutz Laaretz. And the Baal HaMor asks as follows. We know that in Chutz Laaretz, we always observe an extra day of every Yom Tov, the so called Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius. Just very quickly, that came about because we know that the Jewish months are determined by the rotation of the moon around the earth. That takes 29 and a half days approximately. Every Jewish month, if you pay attention, is either 29 days or 30 days. You never have a 28-day month like February on the solar calendar. You never have a 31-day month like January, March, etc. It's always either 29 or 30. What does it depend on? So we come to day 29 of the outgoing month. It depends whether Eidim, as we know from the Mishnayos and the Gemara's Rosh Hashanah, when you come to day 29 of the outgoing month, so question is, will the moon be with the new moon, the sliver of the new moon, will it be visible that night or not? If it is, so then Adam, who saw the new moon, would come to Bezin the next day and testify, we saw the moon. They'd be questioned, assuming that they're found to be telling the truth. They would declare that day is the first of the new month, and the old month will have ended on day 29. It's called a chaser, because it's lacking a day, so to speak. It's missing a day. It's called a chaser. It's a 29-day month, and the new day begins the next day. Let's say they don't know Adam come. They didn't see the moon the night of 29, so the next day is going to be the 30th. And the next day, the day after that, will be the first of the new month. It's always day 29 or day 30, depending on whether Adam show up. So the Adam would come to the Beis Din Yerushalayim. So the days before texts and emails, how'd they let everybody know? If you lived in the neighborhood, you lived around, okay, you could find out very easily. But let's say you lived far away. So the Mishnayos tell us there was originally a system with fire, that they would light fires on certain mountains, enumerated the mission of Rosh Hashanah. And when they saw those fires go up, everybody knew when Bezan proclaimed Rosh Chodesh. However, that system had to be abolished because some wise guys would light the fires the wrong day. So they had to revert or go back or employ, we might call the Pony Express. They would send out riders. They would send out messengers to all the communities, letting with an official presentation from Bezan, let them know when Rosh Chodesh was. Okay, good. The problem is that there were people who lived far away, and those writers, those messengers didn't always get there. Okay, so people would never know exactly when Rosh Chodesh was. So for most purposes, it doesn't make a big difference. But let's say it's the month of Nisan, right? So now we're waiting. I'm living far away from Yerushalayim, and no writers, no messengers came from Bezin. When was Rosh Chodesh? And now it comes to the 14th of Nisan. Is today the 14th? Well, no, it's today actually the 15th. It's today the 15th. I better have a Seder. I have to eat Matzimora tonight because it might be actually Pesach. Then I have the next night. Well, maybe today, yesterday was only the 14th. Today's the 15th. So I better eat again Matzimora. I have another Seder. And so that's how Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goyim started. There was actually what we call a Seker Diyama. There was actually a doubt when Bez and Pul came to Rosh Chodesh. Where exactly the boundary was it in Eretz Yisrael, other places, a different discussion. But in certain places, it had to keep an extra day. Eventually, they did away with that whole system for various reasons, and they employed a mathematical calculation. And the Gemara says right in Beitza that Hashta Bekin Bekin the Arkha. We know already, living, whether you live in Eretz Yisrael, you live near Yerushalayim, you live far away, we all know. We want to know what day the 15th of Nisan is. So you look on your fridge, and it's a calendar, and it tells you when is the 15th of Nisan. But the Gemara says, nevertheless, there are one on the second to keep an extra day, to keep the old minig, the old tradition in certain areas, to have an extra day of Yom Tov. So we have an extra day of Yom Tov. So the Baal HaMor raised an interesting question. The first night of Pesach is okay, we observe Pesach. Now comes the second night. So we want to start Sfiras Omer. On the other hand, we on the second night replicate as if it was still the 15th of Nisan, not the 16th. And we have another Seder and we eat Matzah again, and we eat more again, and we have Arba Kos again, and we have Maggid again. We do the whole Seder over again. Right? We have to call Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goyim. So we observe a second Seder and we treat it as if it's the 15th. So says the Baal HaMor, if that's the case, it's a little funny. You're going to count the Omer as if it's the 16th, and you're going to observe Seder and have Arba Kosos and Matzimor as if it's only the 15th. Isn't that a little bit of a tarte de sasri? It's a contradiction. So the Baal HaMor says, well, we have such a similar discussion in the Gemara, not about this, but the Gemara discusses on Sukkos. So Sukkos is 7 days long, according to the Torah. To sit in the Sukkah, but Sukkos Teishu Shivas Yomim. So 7 days of Sukkos, we call that Oshana Rabban. So Sukkos is coming to an end. The next evening is Shmini Atzeres. So in Eretz Yisrael, and according to the Torah, Shmini Atzeres, we don't sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Sukkos is over. There's a question of, you know, proper to sit in the Sukkah at all on Shmini Atzeres. But okay, so in Eretz Yisrael, nobody sits in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. But now in Chutzar, it's 1 second. We're about to start Shmini Atzeres, but maybe today actually is not the 8th day. Maybe it's only the 7th day, in which case when we have to take a sit in the Sukkah. So what do? So the Gemara gives the conclusion. The simple reading of the Gemara is Yisuli Yasuyim, Bucha, Mabarchina. We sit in the Sukkah, that's what we do. Most people in Chutz La'aretz, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, other people have different traditions, but for the most part, we sit in the Sukkah, and the Rebbe was very insistent about this. One of the things he said, as it's sold over, I actually heard him say this also, it's one of the things he said, not to follow your family minhag, but do what it says in the Gemara, sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So most people, many people sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, but not with the bracha. We don't make a bracha. So we sit in the Sukkah, we don't make a bracha. So the Baal HaMor proposes to do the same thing on the first night of Sfiras Omer, the second night of Pesach. We should count the Sfiras Omer without a bracha. I do the mitzvah, but don't make a bracha. Right? That's the suggested question of the Baal HaMor. Why don't we do that? And the third question the Baal HaMor asked is why, in general, throughout the whole period of Sira, why don't we concern ourselves with Sfeika the Yoma? Meaning the first night we should say, you know, tonight is 1. Okay, but the 10th night we say tonight is 10. Well, tonight is 9. Right? Tonight is 23. Tonight is 22. Tonight is 37. Tonight is 36. Right? Why don't we have the Sfeika the Yoma throughout the whole period of Sira's Yoma? Those are the three questions which the Baal HaMor raises. They were in the last daf on the Rif in Pesachim. So with regards to Shechianu, the Baal HaMor gives an interesting answer. He says that we only say Shechianu when performing a mitzvah that we're very excited to be able to observe. The cheerful mitzvah, it's an enjoyable mitzvah, very happy about doing the mitzvah. So we say Shechianu, v'kimonu as manazeh. Sfiras HaOmer, unfortunately, the one we have today, is a mitzvah that conjures up negative feelings, or sad feelings. Why? Because Sfiras HaOmer is linked, as I mentioned before, to the Karban HaOmer. What Korban Omer? There's no Beis HaMikdash today. So every time we count the Sfiras Omer, we remember, you know, we couldn't really kick off this mitzvah the way we're supposed to because there was no Beis HaMikdash. So we think every time when we count the Sfiras Omer about the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. Do you want to say Shechianu? Shechianu said it doesn't fit. It's not enjoyable. We have a negative association with this mitzvah. We have to do the mitzvah. But it reminds us every time we do it that the Beis HaMikdash is not present. And therefore, we don't say the Brach of Shechianu. That's the teretz that the Baal HaMor gives. The Rav noted, use this as an opportunity to explain, that they're actually, you know, we want to remember what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, we also want to take note of the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. The Rav famously distinguished between what's called the Zeichel HaMikdash and what's called the Zeichel HaChorban. sometimes we do things to replicate exactly what was done in the Beis HaMikdash. For example, in the Yontav of Sukkot, we took in Beis HaMikdash, it took the lulav all 7 days. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah is all the kach, benochem, and rishon. Now, to take the lulav, the first day of Sukkot, that's it. There's no mitzvah of lulav the rest of the week. Like matzah, there's only mitzvah, basic mitzvah of matzah on the first night of Pesach. You don't have to eat matzah the whole week. You can't eat chometz, but you don't have to eat matzah. I can eat potatoes or whatever. You don't have to eat matzahs. Sukkot is also, the first day of Sukkot is a mitzvah lulav. The rest of the week of Sukkot is no mitzvah lulav. But in the Beis HaMikdash, you had to smach and lift and shalom kechim. Shiva's yomim. In the Beis HaMikdash, you had to take the lulav and esrog all 7 days. So Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, after the Purim, institute that we should replicate what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a zecher HaMikdash. We should remember and do exactly what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara explains in Sukkot, the Gemara says that's based on a pasuk tzioni dorish emla. The cloud, the boy, Drisha, we're supposed to try and recall what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. But there are other things that we do, Dafka, to note, we do it Dafka in a different way. We don't do certain things because we want to remember there's no Beis HaMikdash. That's the Gemara in the end of Peska Sabbatim, Daf Samcha Beis in Baba Basra, where the Gemara has from a different pasuk, Meshkachech, Rishalayim, Tishkach Yemini, a different pasuk than they quote in Sukkah, that we refrain from certain things, Dafka, to do it not the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. And so we temper the celebration a little bit of it at a wedding, and we leave a part of the house unpainted, different things along those lines, because we want to remember the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rav said, it's interesting here, when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, we're doing it perhaps in a way that's a little different, at least according to one sheet of the Gemara, Dan Menachas, on Maf Samach Vav, says that HaMeimar made a very strange statement. I mean, we count both days and weeks. We mentioned right now only the first week, but I mean, after next week, we'll count both the day and the week. But HaMeimar only counted the days, not the weeks. You know why? Because it says Zecher HaMikdash. What do you mean? So therefore what? It's so hard to mention? Another tenth of a second to mention? Why? So the usual way most people learn, it shows the creativity of the Rav, the usual way most people learn, well, it's only Zecher HaMikdash anyway, you don't have to be so careful. The Rav said, no, it's not that. Dafka, he wanted to do it differently than perhaps was done in the Zman HaMikdash, because we're noting the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what HaMeimar meant. It's a Zecher HaMikdash, because we Dafka want to hear more of the category of Zecher LeChorban. We want to do it in a way that's different than it was done in the Beis HaMikdash, to highlight the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Rav explained, using this idea from the Baal HaMor, that the Sfiras HaOmer is not a cheerful mitzvah, so to speak. He also noted, that's why we find, Tosis says in Megillah, on Daf Chof, that at the end of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, and we follow that to this day in most places, we make a little tefillah, count the omer, and say, Harachem on Yachzul Lano, Zavodos Beis HaMikdash, Kol Mer Remeino. Some people say, Yiratzon Shibana Beis HaMikdash. We say, well, beautiful tefillah, but I don't know, we don't say that after putting on tefillin, we don't say it's appropriate. Harachem on Yachzul Lano, Zavodos Beis HaMikdash, we say you have to take the lulav too. We don't say, why do we say Dafka by Sfiras HaOmer? We have that little insertion. The Rav said, that's why. Because again, it's based on Tosafot. That's why. Because this is a mitzvah that highlights the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, we append a little tefillah. Once we do this mitzvah, perhaps we don't pass it like HaMeimar. We say the weeks, the days, and the weeks. But using HaMeimar's idea, we want to do it a little bit different way to highlight the fact that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So right away, we postscript a tefillah. That's what the Rav suggested based on the first question and answer of the Baal HaMor. The second question the Baal HaMor asked was, why don't we count on the first night without a bracha, like we sit in the sukkah and Shmini Atzeres without a bracha in Chutz La'aretz? So he made a distinction, the Baal HaMor, and he says, because the circumstances are reversed. Think about it for a moment. Shmini Atzeres is Doraisa. Right? The Torah requires us to observe Yom Tov Shmini Atzeres Doraisa. Okay, so when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, we're going to say, what are you going to say? We're not going to count the. We're going to sit in the sukkah. Okay, and we're going to make a bracha because you're going to sit in the sukkah with a bracha and have the Rabbanan requirement of Sekhid Yomo, right? The Gemara's requirement, the Rabbanan requirement to have an extra day of Yontif, to observe an extra Yontif, should override a Doraisa. So there we'll say, okay, so sit in the sukkah, but don't make a bracha, okay, because you're not going to say not to sit in the sukkah. But when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, it's the other way around. The Doraisa is a mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer. But the Raisa the second night, that's a further question, but it was the Raisa was not as that. So the Ramavel did the Raisa, but the Chiyav, so to speak, is the second night, the principal Chiyav is Sfiras HaOmer. Only the Darabon and the Minig of Asinab Adenu is the Yom Tov Sheni. So there, we're not going to say, well, don't make a bracha, don't take it. Perhaps the mitzvah Raisa, you're not going to make a bracha because of the Darabon concern. Not the same thing. That's the Baal HaMor's answer. The Rav said, based on this, we can understand that probably some of you saw it through Haggadahs, and it's a minhag on the Chassidim, that they don't count the Sfiras HaOmer until the end of the Seder. Most of us, I don't know how many shuls they counted here and shul before, after. Most shuls around here, they count the Sfiras HaOmer at the end of Maariv, right? Before you go, at the end of Maariv, before Elena, like every other night. But by in some of the Haggadahs, I'm sure you've seen printed, the very end of Hallel, the very end of Haggadah, they can count the Omer. So that's what the Chassidim do. What's that all about? Why in the world do you count the Omer then? Because that minimizes, as I've said, a little bit the Tarek de Sasri. Because to go ahead and count the Omer as if tonight is already the 16th of Nisan, and then to go home and you're going to have a Seder with Pesach and Matzah and Mora and then Abrakos and so on and so forth, it looks a little funny. So therefore, we wait until the end of the Seder, Hagam, that we continue to observe Yatif. But a little bit to minimize the Tarek de Sasri by counting at the end of the Omer, that defends the position of the Chassidim. Finally, the Baal HaMor asked, the third question the Baal HaMor raised was why there's no Sfeik of the Omer when it comes to the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. So in yeshivas, they say over from the Dvar Avrom. Dvar Avrom was known as the Kovner of Avrom Dovber Kana Shapira, who the Rav knew. And as a matter of fact, when the Rav came to America, so he was hired by the community in Boston, so they wanted to have a letter. They didn't know who he was. The Turk wasn't there to explain who he was, so they don't know who he was. So, I need to have some sort of a letter or something to indicate that he's Roy, that he's fit for this position. So when I heard the stories, I think of Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, wrote the glowing letter. But some of the people said, the father. Of course the father's going to say, the son is wonderful. They wanted some sort of independent corroboration. So the Dvar Avrom wrote a letter that's printed. After the Rav was nifted in YU, they printed a volume called Zichron HaRav, which has essays from many of the Rosh Hashiva at that time. And on the front page, on the cover, they print the first page, they print that letter from the Dvar Avrom, extolling the virtues and the praises of Hashem and salvation of the Rav Zichron HaRav. How he's right, he has an expression there, if I remember correctly, halacha kamosu b'chol mokom. Whatever he says, that's the halacha, wherever you are. It's somewhat ironic statement in some ways, but that's what the Dvar Avrom said to the Dvar Avrom. As a tshuva, it's a collection of tshuvas called Shals and Tshuvas Dvar Avrom. So I think it's in the Laman Dalet. He has this question. The Baal HaMor raises the question, why there's no Sfeik of the Omer? He has an interesting answer. The Gemara says in Bamitzian Dav Zayin also in Bukhara, the Gemara says that certain things you have to, when you count something, a count has to be definitive. We talked, the Pasuk says about Maiser Behemel, that every one out of every 10 you have to count. You have the new animals that are born that season in the corral, so you have to pass them through and can't count every 10. So it has to be a Siri Vadev and a Siri Sofer. When you count, you have to know exactly what you're counting. That's otherwise not called counting. So the Dvar Avrom suggested that to say, tonight is the 23rd, and it's, tonight's the 22nd. That's not called a count. It's not Sfiras HaOmer. Right? It's not such thing as a Sfira. That's not a count. A count is definitive. How much money you have in your pocket? You need exact change. So I have 25 cents, I have 26 cents. That's not exact. So a count, by definition, that's the thrust of the Dvar Avrom's position. And therefore, he says they didn't institute the Sfeik of the Omer when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, because it would be not be called counting. How do you say, oh, Sfiras HaOmer? It's not a valid count to say something less than 100% definitive. So it's interesting, though, because at the end of the Tshuva, the Dvar Avrom, just see the reverence which the Achronim had for the Rishonim. Dvar Avrom said he thinks that this is a good answer. But he said, Lamaisa, that's not the answer that Baal HaMor gave. Baal HaMor gave a different answer. Baal HaMor said, well, we're going to count the Sufek every single night. So what's going to happen at the end? We come to Shavuos, right? And so say, Shavuos, oh, wait a minute. Maybe tonight's only the 49th. So that'll be a pagam. That'll be a lessening, a zilzul. The Yom Tov of Shavuos, you're going to, today it's Shavuos, it's Yom Tov, and you're going to make Kiddush, and we deserve Shavuos. He said, but it's only the 49th of the Omer, it's really a weekday. Go back to that problem before, like by Sukkot, So therefore, that's why we don't do it. But the Dvar Avrom writes, even though he likes his own answer, but he said, that's not what the Baal HaMor said, so maybe there's something wrong with it. So the story is, I think that the Rav asked the Dvar Avrom, the Rav himself, remember that the Rav himself spoke to the Dvar Avrom with the following question. It's a very logical point to say that sphere, that counting has to be something definitive. But that means that when they're really, what we observe is Sfeik of the Omer today, just as a commemoration, it used to be. We don't really have any doubt. Like I said before, we know exactly when the first day of Pesach is and exactly when the first day of Sukkot is. We look at our calendars, we have it. It's all been pre-calculated since the days of, the sea and so on. Hillel Sheni. So the we know today. So we do it as a commemoration. But at one time, there really was a Sfeik of the Omer, like I said before, when they really didn't know. So that means, what did those people do? What did they do back then? What did they do back then when they really didn't know which date it was. The messengers never got to their town. So you'd have to say, according to the Dvar Avram, that the Taka didn't count the Omer. They couldn't do the mitzvah. If the Dvar Avram's right, the Taka couldn't do the mitzvah. They had no choice. The Rav found it a little difficult because that would mean for an extended period of time. In many places, including Bavel and the Zman of the Amoraim, there would be large numbers of people who didn't observe for an extended period of time the mitzvah Sirus Omer. The Rav thought such a thing would have appeared in the Gemara. There should have been some record that there was Jews in certain places who were not able to do the mitzvah Sirus Omer. So he didn't think that was the problem he had with the Dvar Avram. So he suggested something different. The Rav suggested that the whole institution, okay, of Sreika the Omer, when there was a real doubt, so maybe Takeda did count today's 22, 23, but not with the Dvar Avram's Mahalo. But when they instituted to remember Zecher, you know, to recall his Omer, Zecher Nidechem, that was only instituted regarding mitzvahs that have to do with the Kedushas Hayom of the Yontif. Davening, observing Yisro Melacha, okay, those are things that have to do with Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot and so on. So we observe things that have to do with Kedushas Hayom of Yom Tov. So we treat the second day as if it was the first day over again. But Sfiras HaOmer is not really a function of the Kedushas Hayom of Pesach. It happens to be that it's Memochas HaShabbos, it starts counting the Biyom of Yechem, it's Omer Tzufa. They brought that Korban on the second day of Pesach. That's when it was. But it has nothing to do with the Kedushas Hayom of Pesach. So therefore, the mitzvah Sirus HaOmer, like the Korban HaOmer, is not a function of the Yom Tov of Pesach, the Kedushas Yom of Pesach. And therefore, there's the concept of Sreika D'Omer was never applied to the mitzvah of Sirus HaOmer. That's how the Rav explained it. Whenever you have an activity or something which is not really a function of that Kedushas Hayom, then there's no need to, or there was no institution to observe the Sreika D'Omer. Moshe Lomar Dome, he said that on Rosh Hashanah, so we know Rosh Hashanah, by definition, is also Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So we don't really mention too much about Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah by Kesli and Pagenu, right? The Gemara Darshan's that the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh is hidden. But we do mention in the Shmoneh Esrei, let's say today in the Shmoneh Esrei, we said this Musaf Yom Chagamatzah Sazeh. Yeah, Shabbos, 2 days, we said Musfei, because it was Shabbos and Yom Tov. So what about on Rosh Hashanah? So in Rosh Hashanah, you say this Musfei Yom HaZikaron Hazeh. Musfei, because it includes the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah and the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. Okay, what about the second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is Beis Tishrei? It's definitely not Rosh Chodesh. So I already shown him, and I think the Rav said that Tzav Chaim was doing, the Taki didn't say Ves Musfei on the second day because it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. We treat the second day of Rosh Hashanah like the extra day. No, but that's got nothing to do with the Kedush Yom Rosh Hashanah. That's a din in Rosh Chodesh. It's a separate din, so therefore it doesn't apply. Or there's some Rishonim will hold that, you know, one of the functions of the Korban Omer on the second day of Pesach is to be Matir Chodesh, to allow you to eat from the new grain, okay, which you now you could eat at, you know, at the end of the day, you eat at the end of the day of the second day of Pesach. So what about the Chutzlart? You have to wait to the end of the first day of Chol HaMoed. So according to some Rishonim, not, again, because why not? Because that's also not a function of the Kedusha Yom, so the Sfeika Yom was never attached to that. I'll just say, just by way of an example, maybe that, you know, let's say a person has on somebody's yard site on the 15th of Nisan. We wouldn't tell us to observe the yard site also on the second day. It's got nothing to do with the Kedusha Yom. So that's the answer that the Rav gave to that Kasha of the Balamot. These are just some of his insight. I'll just add that, you know, Derech Efsher, you look in the Rambam's Nusach of the Haggadah. Again, the book is coming to Matz, the Rambam prints the Nusach of the Haggadah. But the whole text is, the very end, he writes that we do the same activity the second night also in Chutz Loretz. And we have, again, all the mitzvahs and abrakos and everything else. So why would the Rambam write that? He already wrote in Hilchos Yontif that in Chutzot you have an extra day. Why does he have to repeat at the end of the Nusach HaAgodah? We know that it doesn't need to print that there. Why doesn't? I thought maybe it's along the same ideas that person might have a Havamina. You look in the Rambam's formulation in Parag Zayin of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, he keeps talking about Leil Chamishasa. Parag Zayin Aloch Aleph, he writes, Mitzvah L'Saper Yitzizim Ayim T'Telavu Leil Chamishasa. We'll have a different beer in that phrase anyway, but for our simplest purpose now, Leil Chamishasar. Then he speaks about, you know, Mitzvah Leiros Satsma Kilati, Leil Chamishasar. When you eat Biskishasoi, Leil Chamishasar. So you might have thought, well, maybe that's not really in a certain sense a function of the Kedusha saying, oh, maybe it's a separate, you could have a Havamina. Maybe it's a separate kind of thing. And therefore, maybe it shouldn't apply. You'd have to keep Yontif a second day of Yontif, but maybe not the Matzimoris. That's why he has to say it in the Sahagot, just to be there. Efshar, one line to what he said. Just to finish up, the Rav mentioned that, you know, the Rambam, the Manavuchan, really the Sefer Chinuch writes like this also, speaks about the importance of Sfiras HaOmer as a prelude to Kabbalah Satorah, to Shavuos. So like the speakers before said, everything with the Rav revolved around Torah. And with him, you know, every day was a Kabbalah Satorah. And I mean, as Turk mentions, we were in the Shir in the later years, the Rav was not at the height of the same powers as the Ganak and Rachman, but you know, you still felt that there was, at least I felt, I'm sure there was also a certain sense of Kabbalah Satorah when you were there. You just saw that he was a chain in the Masorah, you just felt it. You know, as we're going to say before, he just felt that, aside from all his brilliance, he just felt that he was another link, you know, in the chain going back, as he spoke about himself so many times. And he felt there was a Kabbalah Sator. He said, one of the reasons we count the Omer, just in terms of Hashkofa, is because just like the Bnei Yisrael at that time, we were told already by Moshe Rabbeinu, was told at the snare, Tavdunas Elokim al Harazeh, that they're going to come and they're going to get the Torah and so on. So they were anticipating it. We're counting down, like a countdown, you know. I worked many years in high school. So right around this time of year, maybe May, I have a big chart, how many days are left till graduation, you know, and they make a big ceremony to cross off. So you're counting down to something you look forward to. A little kid looks forward to his birthday party. You're counting down. So Kali is always counting down. So we're supposed to feel the same way. We're supposed to feel we're counting to Kabbalah Satorah. Had another discussion another time why we count up and on down. That's another sheet. But the idea is that we're looking forward, anticipating with the Rav. You felt that everything in him was about Kabbalah Satorah. Every day he anticipated a new Kabbalah Satorah. People wonder, I've been asked this. Other people who were, you know, were not Talmidim in the Rav, they asked with respect. How come you read different things, different years? He said different things, the same sugya, the same, he said different things. Because every time he looked at it anew. It was a different Kabbalah Satorah. And sometimes he saw things differently than the way he saw it last year or 5 years ago, or 25 years ago. Every day there was a new Kabbalah. Every day was like something that was brand new. Just end, you know, again, I spoke about Kriya Satorah. I've shared in the past my Talmidim, so. On this day, 29 years ago, on this date, when we were always nifted, so we organized, I happened to be the one who organized it. We had a couple of busloads of people that went from Teaneck. I live in Teaneck. So we had from one of the shuls in B'nai Yishurim, we had a couple of busloads to go up to Boston to be at the Leviah. And we left at, at 4:30 in the morning. I think the Leviah was at 9 o'clock in the Maariv. So we left at 4:30 in the morning. And there was no Muncie bus. There was no Sefer Torah on the bus. We couldn't daven before we left because it was too early. So we're driving on the bus up to Boston and we davened on the bus. But there was no opportunity for Kriya Satorah because there was no Sefer Torah. Okay, so we went to Leviah and so on and so forth. And then we came back, it was Erev the last day. The Leviah was, that year, the last days was Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday. So the Leviah was Sunday morning. So we came back Sunday afternoon. We got back to Teaneck, I guess around 2-3 o'clock, whatever time it was in the afternoon. And with the bus, it was a 4.5 hour ride. And we came back, so a few people asked me, should we go inside the shul to laning for this sixth day of Pesach, because we hadn't laned on the bus. So I mentioned that, as Organak said, there's a dispute whether it's a Chavos Yachar or Chavos HaTzibur. I said, but I'll call Parham, we're coming back from the Rav's Levaya. So, coming from his Levaya, we should do what he felt was necessary. So we talked, went inside, and we heard the read the Kriya Satorah from the sixth day of Pesach. But that was part of the godless of the Rav, aside from all his, you know, just ingenious insights, just to read things in a certain way that the Ganak said, once he said it was so compelling. And I always felt, you know, both when I was in the Shir, even though it was in later years, and certainly when I've read from so many people, including the distinguished Rabbanim here, their, you know, the writings of Rav Shirim, after you read it, you feel, you know, well, why don't I think of that? You know, like, it was so obvious that what he said is correct. You wonder why I didn't think of it yourself, but that was part of his godless. And it's proper that we, and our community should commemorate his Yahrzeit in this fashion through Talmud Torah. And for us too, we should anticipate Kabbalah Torah and look forward to something new whenever we study Torah. Yehi Zichron Baruch.
Shkodech Rabbi Tavis, full cleanup speaker, Rabbi Reichman, Rabbi Heshi Reichman, who comes here with many credentials. First of all, he was a Talmud of the Rav, very close Talmud Neman for many years, and he and now his sons a great part of his time and energy in terms of promoting and memorializing the Rishuim, the wonderful Rishimas that he's written on many Masechtas. And last but not least, of course, he is our own Rabbi Zevi Reichman's father, who has made such an impact on our own local community.